And we went back to this piece because, oh, hi David, Boker Tov. We went back to this piece because I thought it would be an important introduction to the new Zman. So, if you remember, we started with the question that when Hashem gave the first mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem to Bnei Yisrael, so he spoke to Moshe and Aaron, Pasuk says, in Mitzrayim. But Rashi clarifies for us, it couldn't have been in downtown Mitzrayim, because even by Makas Barad, when Hashem was interacting with Moshe, and Moshe was interacting with Hashem, Moshe stepped outside the city, because the city was filled with Avodah Zarah. So Rashi clarifies, it must be that Moshe and Aaron received this message on the outskirts of Mitzrayim. But the question of the Eish Kodesh is, who cares exactly where this, you know, this mitzvah was shared? Why do we care to know that Moshe and Aaron received this communication while somewhere in Mitzrayim? That's not the point. The point is, Hashem told Moshe and Aaron, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Jewish year starts with Nisan. That's all that really matters. That's the main message that's being conveyed. Why do I need the geographical location? Especially if Mitzrayim in the Pasuk doesn't mean, you know, Mitzrayim proper, capital city. It means like somewhere in the outskirts of Mitzrayim. Why do I care where this communication took place? That was the Rebbe's question. And then we introduced a very interesting agarata. Right, remember the Gemara? What was the Gemara? The Gemara in Bava Kama, where Rabbi Chanina ben Agil asked Rabbi Chia bar Abba, why in the first presentation of the Asaras HaDibros in Parshas Yisro does it not use the word Tov? And in Parshas Ve'eschanan, in the second presentation of the Asaras HaDibros, it says the word Tov. Where does it say Tov in the Asaras HaDibros? If you honor your parents, it says what? It'll be good for you. Right. So he asked him, why does the Torah mention the fact that it's going to be good for you if you honor your parents by the second presentation of the Asaras HaDibros and not by the first presentation? So he said back to him, what did he say back to him? Before you ask me why it says that, first ask me if it says that. You never read the Chumash before? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, you never read the Chumash before? You don't know? You don't know the difference that in the first presentation of the Ten Commandments it says Zachor es Yom HaShabbos and the second one says Shamor? You don't know that? You never noticed that before? How could that be? And then even stranger, he says, and go ask Rav Tanchum. He's an expert in Agarata. He'll answer your question. Why do you need an expert in Agarata? Open up a Chumash and see what it says there. Very, very strange. So we went off on a long discussion based on the Zohar on the words in Eishes Chayil, Noda b'sha'arim bala. Who remembers? What does the Zohar say about Noda b'sha'arim bala? Her husband is known in the gates. What does the Zohar say? Yeah, Ellie.
It's like, how would I recognize who he is?
That's the Pashup Shabba. What did the Zohar say?
It's a reference to our relationship with Hashem.
Correct. You create a gateway, a portal, to your connection to Hashem. Right? And we explained, as the Rebbe explained, even though we're not prophets, but every one of us has met Hashem. Right? We encounter Hashem with our Amunah, with our Ava, with our Yira. We've all seen, we've all experienced, we've all made contact with Hashem. And it's up to us to determine how big of a gate we want to make. And whether we're learning Nigla or Nistar, and he explained, Nistar doesn't just mean learning Sefer Kabbalah or Hasidus or deep Torah ideas. Nistar means searching for the secret of Torah. And what is the secret of every bit of Torah? The Rebbe said, even if you're learning Shnayim, Ochsim, Batalis, two guys fighting over a talis, it belongs to me. What's the secret of that Torah? Why is that Torah filled with a mystery? What's the mystery of that Torah? The mystery is the godliness within that. Right? What makes a Mishnah and Makos, Av Zayin, about going to an Ir Miklat, what does that do with God? And the answer is, that's the sod, that's the secret. It's the will of Hashem. It's getting to know Hashem. Right? You know the person's favorite ice cream flavor, even if it's a machlokas, what his favorite flavor is. You get to know the person. That's how you encounter the person. That's where you meet the person. Okay? So every time we learn, the Rebbe said we have to challenge ourselves, and every time we daven, and every time we have a spiritual encounter, we have to ask ourselves, how did I meet Hashem in this? Yesterday we learned the Sefer HaChinuch, two different explanations as to why, you know, there's a chiyuv to go to an Ir Miklat. Is it a kapara? Right? Is it some type of punishment? Is it just a protection from the Gaal Hadam? Is it a way to save his life? I have to ask myself, how do I meet Hashem in that? Every bit of Torah. Doesn't matter what you're learning. And then we ended yesterday by answering what appeared to be a contradiction about why did Amalek attack the Jewish people? Did Amalek attack the Jewish people because we asked the question, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu m'ayin, is God with us or not? That's one opinion. And the other opinion is Amalek attacked us because we weakened our hands from Torah. Rafi yadehem in a Torah. Which one is it? And we said it's the same thing. What does it mean to have weak hands in Torah? It means you're not holding on to the Torah that you're learning. You may show up to shir and you may hear the ideas, but you're not asking, how is it transforming me? You're not, right? It's not in your yad. And when you say that, so then you end up looking at the Gemara and say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu m'ayin, where's God in all this? I can see the Rosh, I can see the Marsha, where's Hashem? Right? So it's one and the same. The goal is that when I learn Torah, it becomes something I can hold in my hand, something I can grasp. It transforms my relationship. And that's, again, it all comes back to Noda b'sha'arim ba'al, to that Zohar. How big of a gateway do I make to let Hashem into my life? I don't know if you said yesterday from the Kotzker Rebbe. Where is Hashem found? Wherever you let Him in. You decide how much you want Hashem to speak to you through the Gemara. Or you decide how much you want it to just be technical, you know, details that often don't even apply to my daily life. Yes, Avi.
It reminds me of the Baal Shem Tov board that Rebbe said.
Which one?
About the Gemara.
100 and 101. Yeah. That's right. You can't compare a person who learns the Gemara 100 times to 101 times. So the Baal Shem Tov said that you can't compare a person who learns the Gemara 100 times to a person who learns the same Gemara 100 times, but it's 101 with an awareness of the one above. It's a totally different experience. One person's just gathering, you know, Talmudic facts from ancient days, and another person is trying to understand how does Hashem think, how does Hashem feel. Right? Okay. All right, so Chavis, let's continue. On page Reish Chafei, again, look on with a friend for now. We're going to place an order in Mirtz Hashem today to get Svarim. Okay, Ellie, you want to be in on that order, I assume, right?
Nah.
Okay, so we're gonna get that order out today. Okay, we're in the middle of page Reish Chafei, halfway down. Nachsir lahanizkar la'el. Let's go back to what we mentioned above. Let's go back to this concept in the Zohar. Dechol avoda v'hasagas ha-Torah hisgalus elokis hi. That every bit of grasping, hasaga means to grasp, every attainment, every understanding, every experience in Torah is a hisgalus elokis, is a revelation of Hashem. It's seeing Hashem, it's meeting Hashem, it's encountering Hashem. V'hi b'chinas noda b'sharam ba'alim. This is the concept of her husband is known in the gates, right? In Eishes Chayil. You make a gate to meet up, it's a marriage. Klal Yisrael and Hashem got married at Har Sinai. Usually we assume Hashem is the chassan and we're the kala. Or maybe Klal Yisrael is the chassan and the Torah is the kala. There's different ways to understand exactly what it is, but we got married. So Eishes Chayil is the story of our marriage to Hashem. So Noda b'sha'arim ba'al, our husband is known in the gates. In other words, we encounter our husband, Hashem, in accordance with the gateway, how much we open up and are open to that relationship. Kol chad l'fi mai diyodale, each person according to how he makes it known to him. U'mishair b'liba dilei. And in accordance with the entranceways of his heart. How open are you to Torah? Like it says in the Navi, we're supposed to what? We're supposed to take the words of the Torah. It's a beautiful lashon in the pasuk. Kosveim al luach libecha. Write them on the tablets of your heart. The luchos are not supposed to be in a box in the Beis Hamikdash. Luchos were never meant to be kept in a box. Kosveim al luach libecha. These are the luchos right here. The luchos are the chambers of your own heart. Kosveim al luach libecha. Write it on your heart. Let it penetrate you. Let it enter into you. So now let's go back to that agarata. L'chein kishashol, Rabbi Chanina ben Agil, as Rabbi Chia bar Abba. So Rabbi Chanina ben Agil, as Rabbi Chia bar Abba, mipnei ma nemar b'dibros ha'achronos kitov. Why in the second presentation of the Luchos, of the Aseret HaDibros, in Parshas of Eschanan, does it say, Tov, haynu l'man yitav lach, the promise that it will be good for you if you honor your parents. Shehi almanas l'kabel pras. It's interesting. It's interesting that the Torah says, honor your parents, not because, well, tell me, what does the Sefer HaChinuch say in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, why we're supposed to honor our parents? What do you say is the root of that mitzvah? Why should you honor your parents? Very posh, Sammy, why should you honor your parents?
Because you have to get back to what they get.
Karsatov. Now the Torah says, no, honor your parents so you can get a reward, L'man Yitav Lach, so it'll be good for you. So I want to take more? I want to get more? It's not enough that my parents created me? Now I'm serving them only because, not because I love them or I care about them or because I owe them my existence, but because God's promising me a prize? L'man yitav lach, it should be good for me? I get more out of it. That's almanas lekabel pras. That's serving Hashem for what? For a reward. So says Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Heishiv lo, she'eini yodeya emnemar behem tov. I don't know if it says the word tov in the Aseres Hadibros. What do you mean? He never read the Chumash. He knows that it says leman yitav lach. What was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba saying? Who wants to take a stab at it? What was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba saying? Ali, what was he saying?
Maybe the only way that we could get closer to Hashem is not understanding, coming from the perspective of understanding our relationship from a parent to a child. It's the only way that you're saying here that we can get our process through, as our process really take care of us. Like, what is the process? It's getting closer to Hashem.
You're saying a good point, but it's not answering the question, because again, in the Agarata, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said back to him, I don't know if it says Tov in the Aseres Hadibros. So that's what the Rabbi said. They called the Shavuot. Of course he knows. He read the Chumash. We're talking about Tzaddikim from the Gemara. Of course he knows. Yoni, what was he saying? I don't know if it says Tov. What was he saying?
The normal interpretation of Tov, he doesn't think fits here.
Meaning what?
Meaning the way that we said it, that because it'll be good for you, it's a better reward. He's like, it can't be that it says Tov.
See, I don't understand it that way.
Yeah.
Right? I can't read it that way. Okay, or even more than that. You're saying good. Go half a step further. He's saying, of course I know it says that. Of course I know that the Pashup shot is you do get a reward for honoring your parents, which is true. Right? Of course he says it can't just mean that because that kind of cheapens the mitzvah. What's Rabbi Chiya bar Abba saying about the sharm delay, his gateways? What's he saying? He's saying, I don't focus on that. I don't focus on the fact that the Torah promises a reward. There's different levels, like we said yesterday, there's different levels of avodas Hashem. Some people keep Shabbos because they don't want to be chayiv karis. I don't want to be punished. Because I know that if I violate Shabbos with a warning, I'd be chayiv skila in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Why don't I eat chametz on Pesach? Because I'm scared to get karis. Right, that's one way to... Why do I daven in the morning? Because I would feel bad, I would feel guilty if I didn't. That's one way to daven in the morning. Another way to daven in the morning is because I want to be close to Hashem. There's different ways a person could serve Hashem out of fear, out of love. There's different madrigos. So what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was saying, it's very similar to what Yoni's saying, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was saying, according to my level, as we're saying, each person creates their own gateway to encounter Hashem. According to my level, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, I never really noticed, in quote, of course he knew the pasuk, but I never really noticed the fact that the Torah promises a reward. I never focused on that. I don't know how to answer why it says Tov. Go ask someone who's an expert in the Gadata, which is really what Yoni's saying. Go find a different shot in the words Tov. Because it doesn't make sense. On my Madrega, it doesn't make sense that the Torah is just saying, if you honor your parents, you'll get a prize. I never do mitzvahs for a prize. That's not my Torah worldview. That's what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is saying. Yeah.
Same time, if the Torah tells you to do something for a specific reason.
Well, again, the beauty of the Torah is that it operates on different levels, right?
You would assume that the Torah wouldn't give the lowest level, meaning do this in order to get X. And you would assume that X is the ideal reason to do the action.
Right? Again, some people love their parents and they serve their parents because they love it. What if you don't like your parents? What if you have a really, really negative relationship with your parents? Right? So I'm not talking about I'm not even saying your parent is a rush. I'm not talking about Hilchos Kibud Avim. I'm talking about Boker Tov. I'm not talking Kilchos Kibud Avim. I'm talking just in terms of your emotional feeling towards that parent. You don't get along with that parent. So you may need the chizik of Ki Tov that the Torah says, so fine, do it because it's the right thing to do, and Hashem says, I'll pay you for it. Right? I know it's hard for you to express genuine Hakaras HaTov to your parent because of the negative relationship you have with that parent. So do it for the reward. But for someone like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, he said, I can't read it that way. Let's read it inside again. Hey Shivlo, he said back to him, She'eini yodeyam nemar behem tov. I don't know if it says tov. Hainu. Yedi'osi oso yizbarach bechinas noda b'sharam ba'alam. My understanding of God, the gateways that I've made in my heart, einu al yedei l'kabel pras. I don't do things for the reward. L'chein gam es hatam lama be'elu lo nemar uve'ela nemar kitov lo yada. So I don't know why the Torah sometimes says big prizes, no prizes. I don't know how to distinguish between that because I never think about prizes. I don't think about rewards. So I'm not really sure how to answer that from the place of my madriga. Now, you'll say, well, why didn't you try? I mean, everyone's at least explained the Torah according to their level. So he said, you know what? I never really thought about it. I was so obsessed with serving Hashem. I never like even notice that Hashem was promising a reward, and I never noticed that to even think about it so much. Let's just read a little further, and I'll take your comments. Cave on next paragraph. Cave and shekol yediasa Torah lo seichel anoshihi. Since the entirety of the Torah, of understanding of Torah, is not in accordance with our human intellect, it's not about understanding an idea. But for Bichia Bar Ava, what was Torah? Torah is an encounter with Hashem. Rakis galus, it's a revelation. It's an encounter. Kenizkor le'el, as we explained above, l'chol echad l'fi avodaso, each person according to his service of Hashem. V'keivan she'avodaso einu l'man yitav lach. So since Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was not a l'man yitav lach, he wasn't always asking, what do I get out of this? He just loved being a yid. He loved the opportunity to learn Torah and to do mitzvos. He never thought in terms of l'man yitav lach. L'chein gam tam pasuk hazeh lo yaltas. He didn't know how to explain this pasuk. V'sholchol Rabbi Tanchum Shabaki ba'agada. Let's get the punchline now. So why did he send him to Rabbi Tanchum, who is an expert in expounding the Torah? Ki isa b'mesecha Shabbos. Sheshalu l'Rabbi Tanchum d'min Noi. They once asked Rabbi Tanchum from Noi, or Nevei. They once asked Rabbi Tanchum, Imutar b'Shabbos lichvos ner b'shvil chol ha'sheyesh bo sakana. Every one of you can answer this halachic shayla. Are you allowed to extinguish a candle for a chol ha'sheyesh bo sakana? Right? A person is deathly ill, and the light is making it difficult for them to sleep, and they need to sleep for their body to heal, or they may die. Are you allowed to blow out the candle on Shabbos? Yes or no?
Yes.
Vada, of course you can. We all know the answer to that. What's the source for that? Give me the two words in the Torah that is the source that you're allowed to blow out that candle. Pikuach nefesh. What words in the Torah? V'chaybahem. 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 V'chaybahem, the Gemara says in Maseches Yoma Daf Pehei, v'lo sheyamos bahem. Hashem wants us to live. With three exceptions, we have to give our life: Gilui Arayus, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But under normal circumstances, even Shabbos, which is so halig, so holy, we violate Shabbos in order to save life. So they want to ask Rav Tanchum, who is an expert in Agarata, can you blow out a candle to save someone's life, to potentially save someone's life on Shabbos? And look what he answered: Upasach ba'agada, and he gave a beautiful drasha, v'sayim demutter, and he paskin that it's allowed. And what was his drasha? Listen to his drasha. Mutav shiyachaba neiro shal basar v'dam, v'lo yachaba neiro shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Better to extinguish a human being's candle, meaning the candle that the person lit before Shabbos, than to extinguish God's candle. What's the human being's candle? The candle in the room. What's God's candle? The person. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. The person is the candle. So better to blow out the actual candle than that the candle of this person, that the neshama of this person should pass away. Hainu neshama shekriya ner, the neshama which is called the candle. Why did Rabbi Tanchum have to give a drasha? That's not even the source for pikuach nefesh. The Rebbe says, Peirush Rashi, lav mehacha yolif chil Shabbos. This is not the source that you're allowed to violate Shabbos. De pikuach nefesh nafkalon mivachai bahem, as you correctly said. The source for pikuach nefesh that you're allowed to what? You're allowed to violate Shabbos to save someone's life? There's two words in Vayikra Perak Yurches, V'chai Bahem, which the Gemara says, V'lo Sheyamus Bahem. Live in Torah, don't die for Torah. So why did Rav Tanchum give this drasha? Why did Rav Tanchum give the drasha? Why did he say, oh, it's better to blow out the physical candle than the spiritual candle? Why is he giving a drasha? The answer is, Ela Lahat'iman Hadavar Ba'agada, but sometimes we need a master of Agada to what? Because if I just told you that the Torah is do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, you'll say, it doesn't speak to me. As human beings, we want an emotional connection. We want an image. We want a powerful image like the candle on the table versus the candle of the neshama burning inside of a person. It's a powerful image. To think of myself as a flame of Hashem in this world. Hashem is the ultimate Or Ein Sof, the ultimate source of light. I'm a little flame of that light. That's a very powerful image. It's Mosheches Es Halev. It draws on the heartstrings. It pulls me in. It inspires me. Lefi Shayubayim Lishmo HaDrasha Noshim Va'amei Aretz. Because Rav Tanchum wasn't just giving an advanced Smicha Shir. He was speaking to the Hamonam. Rav Tanchum was speaking to the women who were traditionally uneducated, Amei Aretz, and the men who were uneducated. He was speaking to the tzibur at large. He was speaking to men, women, and children of all backgrounds, of all degrees of knowledge. Vayutzrichan hadarshanin limshuchas levava. So he could have just quoted the pasuk. He could have said it's a pasuk in Vayikra Yud Ches. It's a Gemara in Maseches Yoma Daf Pehei. So to someone who's not holding, I don't know what it says there. So he said, "I'm not." Instead of telling you sources, let me tell you the feeling. The Torah wants to prolong life. Better to blow out this candle than to extinguish the candle within a person. That's something that everyone can grasp. So now we understand what happened in Bava Kamma. When Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was on a very high level, says, "Go ask Rav Tanchum." Right? Why it says Tov in the Torah. Rav Tanchum was a person who had to speak to the masses. Rav Tanchum said, I can explain to the person who has the worst relationship with his parent, the person who practices Torah and mitzvot the least lishma, let me explain to that person why it says Tov by honoring your parents. Rav Chiya Bar Abba is way above that. I don't think about rewards. I don't think about prizes when I keep the Torah. But Rav Tanchum could explain it to the masses, as we see elsewhere in Shas. Rav Tanchum had a way with words of being able to pull people in. Okay? Let's pause here at the bottom of the page and take questions or comments. Eliada, something you want to say?
Yeah. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Is he saying that's the ideal way to go about it, or is that just his madriga?
Listen, it's obviously the goal is that we should all serve Hashem more and more lishma, whatever the word lishma means. Right? But again, as we mature, as we spiritually mature, again, we need prizes at the beginning, you know? But we also have to help ourselves graduate from that. You know, like in yeshiva, I always have mixed feelings. Like, when guys are in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael and they do like these big, you know, if you learn like 100 hours, you get a free sandwich, you know, or, you know, like you stay up for 1,000 nights straight, like the Belzer Rebbe, Bizocha Tegila Eliyahu Navi, which is a true story. Yeah, like, I don't know, all these, like, prizes, like, we'll buy you a set of shots, get you a mini shas, if you, you know? So on the one hand, like, it motivates people. It gets you going, right? You could also just go out and, like, probably go out to that restaurant yourself for 100 shekel or whatever, but, like, okay. For whatever reason, like, it creates that energy in yeshiva, you know? Prizes, right? But at a certain point, a person has to be a baal achrayas. I have to take responsibility, and I have to say, you know what? There may not be a time, maybe there's a time in my life where my madrich or my rebbe is, you know, knocking on my bedroom door to make sure I'm up for shacharis, right? And maybe there are stages in life where we need the pat on the back to say, great job, you know, I see you're steiging, I see you're really growing. There's going to come a point in your life, I hate to break it to you, where no one's going to care. No one's going to care if you learn a lot, if you learn a little. No one's going to care if you go to davening or if you don't go to davening, right? Only it's between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to be my age. I'm going to be 40 years old and like still getting, you know, getting prizes for learning Torah for, you know, 20 days straight. It just doesn't. That's no, right? So there is that sort of is the ideal. Now again, we all need different ways to motivate ourselves. Right? Part of the attraction of learning Daf Yomi for some people is just knowing that like I get to make a siyum when I get to, you know, that checkpoint, and it pushes people. Right? And there are, by the way, there are all sorts of Torah organizations that give out prizes to adults also for taking tests on Mishnah Berurah and things like that. You know, there's all sorts of programs, and they're very motivating. Chas v'shalom, you know, saying they're not important. They definitely can motivate a person, but at a certain point, we want to love Torah and mitzvot because it's the way that we have Hisgalus Elukus. It's the way that we meet Hashem. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba is saying, on my madrega, I don't know how to, even if he was going to try to explain the words Laman Yitav Lach, it wouldn't speak to the masses. So he said, "Go ask Rabbi Tanchum. He knows how to speak to people at every stage of life that they can appreciate the simple pshat of the Torah." Yeah, Yoni.
Just thought I had from Joe's comment about if the Torah did give a certain reasoning for it, wouldn't it make sense to follow up that reason? That two thoughts: one, that if we have two set of dibrot and one of them has a certain one doesn't. The other,
right.
It got me thinking also about what we said in how the first set of people don't have it and they were destroyed, and the second set does.
Right.
And I don't know if there's any backing for this, but the fact that the first was destroyed maybe means that whatever was listed and enumerated there was kind of less accessible.
Right.
That
That's right.
The second.
It was a higher level, but it was less sustainable.
So that the second set of people doesn't have the money.
That's right.
That kind of means that it's like the base level.
That's a great point. The second luchos, which are the ones that last, right? Again, it's sort of like the first three words of the Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem wanted to make a world of Elokim, Midas Adin. It's unsustainable. The standards are too high. It's not going to work. Right? It had to be brought down in a way that, and to the average person, yeah, we like to know that there's a prize at the end of the game. We like to know that there's a big chelak in Olam Haba. We like to talk about the schar we're going to get. You know, every time we learn, every word that we learn is the biggest mitzvah, and it's going to be the biggest reward of building a big Olam Haba. And we should picture like a, you know, a big beautiful mansion in some celestial palace. And like, it's okay for us to, you know, and mitoch shel lo lishma ba lishma. The Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nun, from lo lishma we come to lishma. It's a process. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. And we go our whole life being lakabal pras, and that's also a tremendous madriga. But you're right, the second luchos were the ones that that lasted. Yeah, Azi and then you could see it.
Also could have seen the Egel Azahav and changed it because of that. Because
right.
You see it's like superficial.
That's right.
This reward right in front of them, they need something to see.
Right, that's right. Hashem saw the Jewish people need something. Yeah, we need to see something tangible. It's very hard. Again, when you have a certain level of spiritual maturity, you love Torah for Torah's sake. But certainly, for the earlier stages of my, you know, encounter and relationship with Hashem, I want to know that what I'm doing is earning. You know? I want to see my bank account growing. Yeah.
So that's exactly my question. What exactly did it say in the Sefer Devarim? Was it just like the exact psukim that was said, or was it only a few words in that when Hashem said it or something? It says
what did it actually say in the Luchos?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting question. That's a whole the whole different
shit. If
there's
going to be a change, then that would be if only full psukim were
written. Right. What was right?
Like, I don't know if Hashem or right. Then.
Right. The two you know sections where the Torah presents the Sefer Devarim. Which one was actually, right? Meaning, was the presentation in Yisro on the first Luchos and the presentation in Vaschan on the second Luchos? That's a whole.
Yeah, or is it like short?
Right. Or is it like it's in Shul's, Anochi Hashem?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Or Kavir S.
One
right. Right, right. That's a very
like,
fascinating
like the
question.
The first one is like, you know, some of the. So
presumably the whole thing was there. Presumably
like
the whole thing was there.
Also, it was like on all four sides. You could see it through.
Right, and the Luchos were also. Luchos were square.
Yeah.
Shockingly. I know most people picture them either round on top or at least rectangle. Gemara says they were 6x6 tfachim. Last time I checked, 6x6 usually creates a square. So they're actually square. If you want to see what they look like, if you want to see what they actually look like, go to the Chabad Kids Museum in Crown Heights. Anyone ever been there?
Yeah. It's a great
place. So you go to the Har Sinai room and you push the button and the luchos come down, so they're square. Chabad are very mocked that I'm making them square. That's how they were.
Things hanging inside.
Do they what?
In the Chabad Museum, did they have like the letters?
The letters in the
letters
auto?
Floated.
Like the sound.
Is that like a?
No. There's no. I don't know if they have. I don't even know if it has letters. But I just remember they were square. That's because that's really what they were. They were square. I once heard from Moshe Shapiro, b'shem Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, that the reason that the Jewish people make the luchos round on top, right, is because it looks rounded like a heart almost. That's the way you would draw a heart, because kasem aluach libecha. It's a reminder that the luchos is supposed to be on our heart. That's a drasha. That's like a Rav Tanchum drasha. Okay, but let's go a little bit further. Bottom line on page Resh Chafei. Haynu shalabale agada nizgala Torah lo lefi archa matzavam. So a baal agada doesn't just reveal the Torah according to his level. Ragam lefi, turn the page, erech ha'anashim shabo lishmoa. That whenever two people learn Torah, it could be a Rebbe and a Talmud. It could be a big darshan, you know. You go to hear, see a sign hanging up, Rabbi Yisachar Franz is coming to speak, and everyone comes out to listen because he's a great speaker. You know, Ephraim Waxman. You go to hear a big speaker, a big darshan, right? So he's not speaking according to his level. He's speaking in a way to arouse the hearts of the crowd, right? So a Baal Agada speaks to the people according to their madriga. So therefore, Rav Tanchum. So what are we saying? Rav Tanchum. What? Rav Tanchum is on a lower level than Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. The Eish Kodesh says, I don't know how to size up rabbis. Who's on a higher level? Who's on a lower level? But Rav Tanchum was a Baal Agada, means that he had a certain expertise in conveying Torah to the masses. He had a way of saying Torah in a relatable way. Right, so even though Rav Tanchum was probably also served Hashem not for the reward, mikol makom kevan shehu baal agada, since he was a master darshan, yoda gam halaman yitavlach, he knew how to explain the words in the Torah that says what, serve your honor your parents, it'll be good for you, she avod the lakabel pras, that's doing it for the reward, b'shvil ha'anashim ha'ovdim lakabel pras, because there are many Jews, maybe most Jews, who that speaks to. So Tanchu knew how to speak to the masses. And now the Rebbe says something, which I think he's talking to the people. Again, the Ish Kodesh is trying to mechazik Jews who are living in the Holocaust. And he's trying to what? And again, I'm going to use this next paragraph, and again, I gave my disclaimer yesterday that it's okay for us to use the Rebbe's words, even though his context was much more tragic and much more intense, but I think it's 1,000,000% fair for us to borrow his words to be mechazek ourselves. The Rebbe is feeling frustrated that people are not coming to his shir. What the Rebbe's talking about? And people aren't showing up to things. He said everyone's like laying low and just kind of focusing on themselves. Understandably so. They're trying not to die. They're trying not to starve. They're trying to keep it together. They're trying to mourn their losses. But the Rebbe says, but when Jews come together, when the room is packed, right, when everyone gets together and learns together, and everyone davens together, and everyone grows together, and it's not each person doing their own avoda, when there's a sense of a chevra, of working together, it's a different hashra sashchina, a different presence of Hashem. He writes in the next paragraph, ha'inyan shel ha'bal agada, ha'omer li Yisrael divrei Torah, when the Baal Agada speaks to the masses, when there's a tzibur, so the Baal Agada has a certain ability to convey messages even higher than his own level. He's able to reach into different pockets of Torah understanding that are not really his place, and he's able to access them b'schus the tzibur, in the merit of the masses. And he explains this based on a letter from the Baal HaTanya, from the Alter Rebbe. From the 23rd letter of the Baal HaTanya. Chaver, listen to this. It's beautiful, beautiful words. Listen to this. V'zel l'shono HaKadosh. K'mo sheshamati mirabosai. The Baal HaTanya writes, I heard from my Rebbeim. Ki'ilu nimtza malach echad. Omeid b'maymad asara miYisrael b'yachad. If a malach were to enter into our shir room right now, if a malach were to be present in the place where there are any 10 Jews who get together, not two Jews here, two Jews, whenever you have a tzibur, the minimum tzibur for hashras hashchina, right, for dvarim shebekedusha, a minyan, 10 people. If a malach were to be present in the presence of 10 Jews, all the more so if it's 20 Jews, all the more so if it's 30 Jews, 100 Jews, right, when Jews get together in large numbers, and they machazik each other, and they grow together, and they learn together, and they forbring together, whatever they're doing together. Af she'ena medavrim divrei Torah. Even if they're not even learning Torah. I went online last night, sent in an order to the sixth floor for our first pizza party of the semester. It's a sham, I think next Thursday. Maybe that was too soon. You need like a lot of days to order pizza. So maybe the following Thursday. Right? So when 10 Jews sit and eat pizza together, when chaverim sit together and eat pizza together, just schmooze and they talk. It creates such a potent hashras hashchina that the malach tipo alav emasa ufacha, the malach would be trembling in the presence of such a Jewish presence. Bli gvul v'tachlis mishchinta desharya alayhu, from the shchina that is present in such a place, the malach would be shaking. At jahayim izbato mimitziuso legamri, to the point that the malach would spontaneously combust. He couldn't exist in such a place. Because there's such a power, such a kedusha, such a Jewish energy in the room, that the malach would literally explode. So listen to what the Rebbe says. And he's talking to his people, but I'm saying it to us as we begin a new Zman together. And how important it is for all of us to make the commitment to, because we don't come to Shir, it's not just a personal choice. If a person misses Shir, right, it affects your chavrusa, it affects everyone in the room. It affects the ability for us all to rise to a higher level. Says the Rebbe, when 10 Jews, each one is scattered, right? Each one is scattered in his apartment, in his dorm room, in his place. So you're a yachid. You're a lone soldier. And the hashras hashlim, the presence of godliness, is not as intense as when they're mekubat yachid, when they gather together. So therefore, when people get together, when there's a big event, when a lot of people get together, even, by the way, if it's not something you understand. You ever go to a tish of a rebbe who spoke Yiddish and didn't understand the word? No? powerful experience. So your friend says to you, what was so powerful? Why did you go? You don't speak Yiddish. What did you try to get there? But the person who went there knows he got something. Right? I'm not just talking about like Shirayim from the Rebbe. He got something. He walks out a different person. Right? What did he get? What did he get? He remembered a new niggin. Let's say he didn't remember a new niggin. He didn't follow one word of Torah. Let's say he got a black and blue mark in his back as he got pushed by a chassid. That's what he got. What did he get? What did he walk away with? Shechina. I met the Shechina. His friend said, "What do you? I said, what did you get? What did you get over there? What did you get? What did you take from that experience? What's your shaychus to that? I was in a place where there were a lot of Jews, where there was a chashuv rebbe, there was a darshan, a balagada. Someone was giving over Torah. I don't have to understand, but I'm in a place where Jews are gathered." He says, "Lachin kishabayim l'shmo divrei Elokim chayim in balagada." When people get together to hear the words of a great darshan, haynu min ish echad, as harei zeh hiskabsus v'isachdus yaseir shel kulam besoch ish hazeh. So they're all united around that rebbe. They all come together. Right? They're all united through the Torah that rebbe is speaking. Even if you don't understand what the rebbe is saying, v'yidei zeh nasa bo be'ish hazeh hisgalus elokus yaseir, and that the rebbe who has all those chassidim, the chassidim what help the rebbe to be the best rebbe. When the Rebbe's the best Rebbe, it has a ripple effect back down to the Hasidim, and it goes back and forth until everyone is elevated. That's what he says. Lefi ze lo rak hadvarim sheim tzrichim lishmo mizgala lo, kenizkar le'el l'man yitav lach, avod l'kabel pras. Not only does he, again, reveal to the things that the people in the crowd need to hear, as the Baal Agada is trying to give over, she avod ha'nemucha me'avodaso, because the Rebbe is trying to, he's not speaking on the Rebbe's level. He's speaking to the Talmidim, to the Chassidim. He's speaking to the audience, whoever it is. But the Rebbe is not having a Yerida by trying to meet the Talmidim where they are. The Rebbe is having an Aliyah. So everyone is gaining. Right? The whole Tzibur, everyone is lifting each other up. The people who are on a lower level are reaching for something higher. The person on a higher level is reaching down to lift someone up. And by doing so, he's himself is being pulled up by Hashem. It creates this awesome ripple effect. This awesome influx of Kedusha. And that's what happens when people get together in this powerful way. Let's go to the second to last paragraph on the page. Yoni, I'll take your comment in a second. He says, and this is the pshat of the Pasuk, V'zev v'sifsei kohen yishmuru das v'tor yavakshu mipiu ki malach Hashem tzavakos hu. Beautiful Pasuk in Sefer Malachi. V'sifsei kohen, the lips of the kohen, yishmuru das. The lips of the kohen. From the mouth of the Kohen. The Kohen means, what's a Kohen? A Kohen's a worker in Beis HaMikdash, but Kohen's also a teacher. The Kohen were the educators. Right? So from your rebellion, from your educators, try to acquire Das. Das doesn't just mean knowledge. Das means connection. Bereishis Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Adam knew his wife Chava. It means that they had an intimate relationship. There was a connection. A chibur. So from the mouth of the Kohen, from the mouth of the teacher, from the one who's sharing the Torah, try to what? Try to forge connections. V'toriy avakshu mipiyo, and try to grasp the Torah of his lips. Ki malach Hashem tzavakosu, because he's like a malach Hashem. The Gemara says, if your Rebbe is like a malach, you should learn from him. If he's not like a malach, then you should find a different Rebbe. Okay. Everyone's welcome to find a different shir. I'm definitely not a malach. I can promise you that. Right? But you should try to treat you see your Rebbe like a malach. What does that mean? Shemaram is af shemalach Hashem tzavakos hu v'toraso gavol mehem. What does it mean? That even though sometimes you look at your Rebbe, or even just the big speaker, the Rosh Hashiva, right? You see a sign hanging up, Rav Shechter is giving a shir. I can't follow Rav Shechter's shir. It's a much higher level. Yeah, no, like all of Shas, forwards and backwards. I don't know. I can't follow the concepts. I don't know. You know, I'm going to go. See, Rav Shechter is giving a shir. It's mostly for smicha guys. I want to see what that's like. I'm just going to sit in on that experience. And you walk out and you barely even know what the topic was. Shechter's a malach. I don't understand the word of it. Even though sometimes the person who's what? Who's giving over the Torah seems like, I can't. It's beyond me. You should realize, says the Rebbe, nonetheless, af shemalach Hashem tzavakosu, even though he seems like a malach, and the Torah is beyond my level, gavoa mehem, mikomakum mipiu yavakshu Torah. Be connected there. Go to that tish. Go to that shir. Try to get connected to those places. Ki kevan shebepiv omer divrei Torah l'rabim. Because when you become part of that tzibur, even if it's for a 45-minute shir, then somehow that Rebbe is bringing down Torah that is relevant to you. And you're helping that Rebbe to reach new madrigos. There's this unbelievable give and take that's taking place. That's the das, right? There's a connection that's being forged. In the schus of the rabbim, the Rebbe's giving over Torah. It changes you. L'chein ha-talmidim nimtzam bepiv. And therefore, even if you don't understand the words coming out of Rav Shechter's mouth and you're sitting in on that high-level shir, but nonetheless, you're in Rav Shechter's mouth. You're in his Torah at that moment. And that's a deep thing. That changes a person. U'b'chinas Torah afim gavoahi gam lahem nimshecha. You're drawn. Somehow you're drawn into that in a very, very deep way. Says the Eish Kodesh in the bottom paragraph, V'chol ha'omer shmuo mipi chacham sifsosav dovos bakever. And chever, this is such a beautiful way to end our shir today. The Rebbe says, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos that whenever you learn a Torah idea, the mouth of the one who originally shared that idea, even if he's no longer in this world, is moving. Who's teaching us this piece of Eish Kodesh? Eish Kodesh. I get to be the Baal Kori today, I got to read. Maybe one of you will take a chance next week to read. I'm the Baal Kori, but whose lips are really moving in the kever? It's the Halakha Eish Kodesh, the Rebbe. When we learn his Torah, it's as if he's teaching us. Right? So we're getting it even on a higher madriga than we even realize. Right? Look at the words again. Kol ha'omer shmuo mipi chacham. When we say a teaching in the name of a chacham, sifsosav dovavos bakever. His lips are murmuring in the grave. When you read the Sefer Achinuch, the Sefer Achinuch is talking to you. When we read a Rashi, Rashi's talking to you. When you read a Rambam, the Rambam's talking to you. These are not, we're reading their books of great people who walked this planet long ago. No. They're in the room. They're talking to us. We're meeting them. We're having an encounter with them. And by the way, when we read the Chumash, who's talking to us? The Rambam sometimes writes in his commentary on the Mishnah, the Rambam sometimes when he introduces a pasuk, what does the Rambam say? He doesn't say what we always say. We always say, the Torah says this, the Torah says that. You know what the Rambam writes? Hashem says this, Hashem says that. Imagine if we spoke that way all the time. Not it says in this week's Parsha. Right? Not the Chumash says in Perek Yuchas. God says, Hashem says. Hashem says, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Not the Torah doesn't say, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Hashem, the creator of the universe, who's causing your heart to beat right now, says, Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's a different experience. Right? Hashem says. So we're not reading a book that happens to have been ideas that once upon a time were shared by the Eish Kodesh. The Piyazetz Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha, Hashem should avenge his blood, who died al Kiddush Hashem, is speaking to us. Sif so sav daika bakever daika. His lips are moving even in the grave. Ki ba'ola ma'elion b'mesifta derakia, in the higher realms, in the yeshiva shomala, gam biladai zel lo me Torah. Of course the Piyazetz Rebbe is learning Torah somewhere out there. But when we sit in a classroom in Washington Heights and we learn his Torah, his lips are moving here also. Ach shia gam bakever lo me Torah. He's not just his neshama is learning Torah somewhere out there. His body, wherever it is, whatever the Nazis Yimach Shemam did with that body, it's murmuring. It's alive. We're keeping it alive. By saying over his teachings, because as the students of the Piyazetz Rebbe, right, we're keeping him alive. We're drawing from him. He's drawing from us. It's this awesome reciprocal relationship. And says the Rebbe on the last page, on page Reish Chav Zayin, and that's true about every Rebbe Talmud relationship. However, whether we like it or not, we're forever stuck with each other. You can switch to a different shir after today, and we're still stuck with each other forever because we learned Torah together. Anyone you ever shared Torah with, not even Torah, any Jew you ever had any encounter with, even if it was, you know, when I was at Flamingo Park the other day, and I walked by a nice Hasidish family, right? And we gave, like, you know, like the Jewish nod. I gave him like a Shalom Aleichem, and he gave me like a this, you know? So that's it. We're boys. So we're like forever, right? It's a kesher shel kav. It's when two neshamas meet up, there's a bond. I hope that our relationship will be deeper than, you know, than just that. The chassidish hands behind the back head nod, you know the move, right? But there's a bond when two Jews get together, and when 10 Jews get together, even if it was one time, whew, it's a fire. It's like a burn up a malach. So says the Rebbe, the end of the piece. When you say over a teaching, when you quote Rashi, you're not someone who just learns Rashi. You're a student of Rashi. You're a student of the Arizal. You're a student of Rishon Bar Yochai. We're all students of Rechia Bar Abba because we learned how to Gadatah and Bava Kama. We become students of these tzaddikim. And his lips are moving. It's like learning from a malach, and I feel unworthy to call myself a student of Rashi. Why? Because I once read a Rashi on Chumash, and I'm Rashi's Talmud. That's all it takes to get into Rashi's yeshiva. Because one time I learned a piece from Rashi. But yeah, Sifsei Kohen. He becomes your Kohen. He becomes your Rebbe. Kenizkra le'el, shal yedeya talmidim omer bepiv yosem ila atzmo. Lachen kishenestalechas v'chalila harav. So when the Rebbe is no longer alive, yesh lo laharav chelek ba'avodas ha-talmidim shabolim hazeh. If he has that's the Rebbe, he's very much our Rebbe. I always call him our Rebbe. I'm not joking, because he's our Rebbe. You learn his Sefer every week, he becomes your Rebbe. V'chein kishenifter mi meha talmidim, and even if one of the talmidim pass away, the Talmud still has a Shpah from the next world on the Rebbe. Gam oz yeshul chelak ba'avodas v'toras rabo shabolim hazeh. It's a kesher shel kayam, it's an eternal bat. Mevnei shaya nimtza b'piv uvelibo. Because what? Because they were in each other's mouth, they were in each other's hearts. They shared words, they shared feelings, they shared connection. And the Rebbe has to have a tremendous, tremendous respect and a karas hatov to his Talmud, because it's only in the schus of a diligent and serious Talmud that the Rebbe is able to share a good Torah. So that's our mission statement. That's what a shir is about. That's what a shir is about. So now let's end the piece. Let's end the piece. And then I'll let you guys ask your questions or comments. What was the opening question? I forgot the opening question again. What was the opening question? Why in Mitzrayim? Why do I need to know that the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people, Achodesh Hazel Lachem, Achodesh Hazel Lachem, beginning of our story. By the way, the gematria of Achodesh Hazel Lachem is Mashiach ben David, because it's the beginning of the story and the end of the story. Can't explain exactly what that means right now, but it's a nice remez. Achodesh Hazel Lachem, 424, gematria Mashiach ben David. Why did Moshe and Aaron get that communication in Mitzrayim? We said it's not in Mitzrayim proper. They went to the outskirts of Mitzrayim. Why do I need to know that it has a sheikh? There's no sheikhs to Mitzrayim. The answer is that's not true. You know why Moshe and Aaron received that command? It wasn't about Moshe and Aaron. It was because of their connection to who? To Bnei Yisrael, who were in Mitzrayim. They brought it down on behalf of the Jewish people. You can say, oh, no, this is, they got the Nevuah. They were the ones who received. They were just the channel that was chosen to what? To be that kli, to give over that message to the Jewish people, to Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael at this point are where? Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Don't forget that Moshe Aaron. The Rebbe has to forget, has to never forget that. It's not none of it's his schus. It's always b'schus the Talmidim. It's the Talmidim who helped to bring down that Torah. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor. Afilum hayachutz l'krach. Even though Moshe and Aaron are still outsiders, they're not suffering. They're not under the whip of Paro. They're in a different madrega. They're in a different place. But they have to remember, Mikol makom b'mitzrayim diber imahem. He spoke to them in Mitzrayim. Why? B'mdei she'amar lehem b'zeh mitzvah, shel dabru el kol hadas Yisrael lemor. Because he's talking to them about what? About Bnei Yisrael. Be'asur lachodesh, on the 10th of a month, take a carbon Pesach. Shehu rak Pesach Mitzrayim v'lo ledosh. He's talking to Bnei Yisrael. He's talking to the Jews in Mitzrayim, so of course it has to say in Mitzrayim. Three lines from the bottom. V'kevan shalitzorech Yisrael shebe Mitzrayim levad dibra Hashem mitzvazu. So it's, since it's in the schus, because of the Jews in Mitzrayim, these words are being expressed and commanded. Lachein hutrich ledaber imahem b'Mitzrayim. So of course, even if Moshe and Aaron are really outside of Mitzrayim in a certain sense, they're outsiders to the suffering of the Jewish people, right? And by the way, this is the Rebbe's way of saying, is he an outsider to the suffering of the Jews in the Holocaust? Of course not. But he also is. Because many times he's told us, for those who were here last semester, last month, the Rebbe told us many times. Every time he yells at Hashem, he says, I don't, right? Like when Moshe yells at Hashem, it's Moshe saying, like, I get it because I have greater Amunah, but Hashem, come on, for the people. You got to do it for the people. So in a certain sense, that's the Rebbe says, Hashem, I don't have tainas on you. If I die, I'll kiddush Hashem, which unfortunately he does at the end of the story. He loses his life, gives his life, Al Kiddush Hashem. Right? The Rebbe says, I'm prepared to do it, and I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to lose my faith. But other Jews might. Other Jews might go off the derech. Right? So Moshe and Aaron, again, like the Piyaz that's the Rebbe, on the one hand, he's very much with the people in the Warsaw Ghetto, as Moshe and Aaron are with the people in Mitzrayim, but a little bit there, they're on a different madrega. But in the schus of the people, they're able to see it through the eyes of the people. Right? So therefore, the pasuk is very clear. As it starts to give over mitzvahs, as the Jewish people become a people, the leaders are told, it's all b'schus the people. Kanizkar le'al, sh'atalmidim ma'orim hisgalus b'rabim l'fi ercha. That in accordance with the Talmidim's, you know, desire and willingness to create a big gateway, the Rebbe's able to try to give over Torah. So again, I think it's a good piece for the new Zman. You know, your success, my success, our success, Hashem's success. You know, the Hashras Hashchina is only going to be as big as we both take this responsibility seriously. I will try, Be'ezras Hashem, to take my responsibility as your Rebbe to share good Torah. But again, my ability to share and your ability to receive, they're all interwoven. We have to commit to each other. And Mir Tzashem will create such an awesome Hashras Hashchina that even a malach would be scared to walk into the room. It's a powerful thing. Okay, questions or comments? I kept everyone waiting long enough. No, Reb Dani, go for it. Which one is that? Adar?
Adar, yeah. Oh.
Okay, good.
But he quotes a Gemara from Menachos, where there's like a dialogue between Moshe and Hashem, where Moshe sees Hashem attaching crowns to the letters of the Torah, and he says, what's Moshe Olam, what are you doing? What's the deal? What's going on here? And he says, like, eventually there's going to be a man that comes. His name is Akiva, son of Yosef, and he's going to expound on all these different halachos and come up with all these different teachings. And then Moshe says to Hashem, Moshe Olam, show me this person. Who is this Akiva? So he... Vincent writes, Moshe finds himself sitting in the eighth row of the yeshiva. Rabbi Akiva is up there teaching the classroom. And he says that the rows indicated the level of the level of the students. So the closer you were, the higher of a level you were. And Moshe was sitting in the eighth row while Rabbi Akiva was giving over the Torah. And Moshe didn't understand a word. That's what he says. He didn't understand a word of what was going on. And then one of Rabbi Akiva's students asked Rabbi Akiva, where do you know this thing? How are you teaching such a thing? How do you know such a thing? And he said, I learned it from, it was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. And then it says that Moshe was like put at ease when he heard that he had learned it. So everyone wants to know what's going on. Because Moshe didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was teaching. He knew all the Torah already.
Okay.
So the Rapinson explains that he was uneasy because Moshe was starting to get worried that the truth of the Torah was being altered, and that Rabbi Akiva was teaching a completely different Torah. He's like, I don't know any of this. This is not what I learned.
Never heard this language of Torah before.
Right. This is like, it's so foreign to me. But when he heard that it's all based off, and he heard that the source was actually what he learned at Har Sinai, he then realized that like everything was okay. So you see that like from Rabbi to student, it passes on and on.
Right.
And then
even though it's evolving.
Always about the Torah. But then he quotes, I'll just read the how we were speaking about the two and through. He says, in Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, the revealed Torah, Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron, but in Torah Shebal Peh, Hashem speaks through the sages. So it's a whole different
type
of
Torah Shebal Peh. It's being passed from the Shema to the Shema. Right, where is Torah Shebal Peh? This is the fact that we have printed Gemara is b'diavad. Really, Torah Shebal Peh is that's the Kasim Aluach Libecha. That was the paragraph that I skipped. He talks about Torah Shebichsav is really higher than Torah Shebal Peh, right? But because of the way that it kind of works, Torah Shebal Peh becomes more of the mystery, and Torah Shebichsav is, you know, the Bible. Anyone can read the Bible. So it sort of like has, again, this inverse property to it, which is a very deep idea. Yes, Rabbi Yoni.
A few questions about the Tzibor. First one is, what's the bracha that we say with 600,000 Jews?
When you see 600,000 Jews?
Why is it such a big number? It seems like you should say it when there's like 10 Jews here.
I hear. You say every 10 Jews is... Yeah, why Dafka? Again, it's reflecting. The 600,000 reflects the bracha is... What's the bracha?
It's not a bracha anyone's made in a long time.
No, what is it, though?
I'll search it out.
Hashem knows the hearts. When Yeshua is appointed, in Parshas Pinchas, Moshe says, you know, Hashem says, find a leader who understands the spirit of the people. And understands
and
that...
Someone says,
Chacham HaRazim. Right, Hashem knows the seat, knows the sod, right. Hashem knows the Sod. That's what we said. Every person, like we learned yesterday, every person has a different understanding of the Sod. Right? I have a secret relationship with Hashem. Right? Who's the one? Who's the Chacham HaRatzim? Hashem, right? We acknowledge. Remember the presence of 600,000 Jews, and yet each person is still created in their own way, with their own way of thinking and feeling and connecting. So I acknowledge that Hashem is the only one who really knows the secret.
And then, I think this is a bigger topic, but we mentioned it briefly last semester, about if we talked about, we spoke about yesterday, about the Ribono Shel Olam, and how he's in everything. So how...
We're going to learn.
And I know that Shekhinah is different than...
Yeah, we're going to learn about that. That's going to be one of our projects in the days ahead.
Okay.
Yes, Ellie?
Just a quick observation that maybe everything we just learned about the lips murmuring, when we speak in the Divrei of Tzadikim or whoever it is that gives us Torah, it sounds like it's the exact parallel to the Gemara in Berachot that talks about Tzadikim being alive when they're dead. This is kind
right,
of
that's right, 100%. That's right, a Tzadik lives forever. Because Torah is eternal. Once you've encountered Torah, have left a mark in Torah.
Is there any other explanation there?
It's forever.
Is that if we go to...
What, the Tzadikim? Yeah, no, I think so. I think that's... And Rishon, even when they're alive, they're dead because they're pursuing things which are temporary. If you're connected to eternity, so then you become eternal. The neshama is eternal. If you're focused on, it's very simple. If you're focused on your neshama, which is forever, so then you are forever. If you're focused on your body, which is, you know, bound to return to dust, so that's going to be your story. Nathaniel, what's up?
So we just learned that a malach can't take the power of the Shekhinah we create when we have a tzibur, right?
That's right.
So, two things. One, I mean, a malach is a messenger of Hashem, so I'm assuming he would be around Hashem Shekhinah as well. Could he take that?
It's true. It's interesting.
And then one more thing. It also says that our Rebbe should be like a malach. If our Rebbe should be like a malach, but a malach can't take a power of a tzibur, then how could we learn from the Rebbe?
That's a good question. It's true. The Rebbe can't handle the light of the Talmidim.
I kind of feel like that contradicts the
Torah. That's a good question.
Like
I'll tell you a nice pshat in what it means the Rebbe should be like a malach. What's the difference between people and malachim?
People can choose where they want to go and angels can choose.
Right. In the Navi, you see that malachim are called omdim. They're standing. Right? And people are called holchim. They're called goers. Movers. They keep moving. Right? Malachim are described regular yeshara, right? Navi yeshara, no? Regular yeshara, their feet, right? We stand together in Shmona Esrei with our feet together. It's like a malach. You can't move. You're stuck in your place. Human beings have the advantage/disadvantage of being able to go up and able to go down, right? The Gemara in Talmud Yerushalmi says that humans we have joints. Angels don't have joints. Their legs are just, you know, solid. Right? We can bend our knees. We can go up. We can go down. We can move. So what does it mean that a Rebbe has to be like a malach? It means that a Rebbe has to be prepared to be an omed, to stand. What does it mean? The Rebbe might say, I have all of my own personal aspirations and goals. I want to learn something new that I haven't learned before. But the Rebbe has to be willing to what? To stand, to stay in his place, to be able to help the Talmidim to be holchem, to help the Talmidim continue to move forward. Right? If he was selfish, he would say, I don't really care, you know, I don't really care about the Talmidim, I just care about my own movement. I just want to grow closer to Hashem and expand my own, you know, my own Torah knowledge. Right? So a Rebbe has to be like a malach in the sense that a Rebbe has to sometimes slow himself down in order to help the Talmidim to grow. But it's interesting. It just, again, it highlights the fact that the Rebbe is like the malach, right? The Rebbe has to feel a certain awe in the presence of the Talmidim, that the Talmidim are creating this awesome hashras hashchina, that, like the Baal HaTanya said, you know, the Rebbe will be burnt to a crisp. Okay, I'll try to be careful not to combust. It's a good question, a deep question. Okay, Chaver, let's take a little break. Okay, we'll stay here again for Seder today.